years now.
Wait a minute. That means you were working for 5 years unlicensed. How'd that happen?
Well, I was raising funds for nonprofits, and nonprofits that I was involved with were upside down, and the only way we could find any funding was through charitable gaming. And at that time, some of the organizations were concerned about being involved with charitable gaming until they realized how many organizations are involved with charitable gaming.
Well, you gave me a list when you got here today, because I was going to ask who, as an operator, you support who are permittees, and we'll get into what that means in a minute, but you've got about 100 charities here, which you say is about 10% of the permittees who are able to accept charitable gaming funds.
Right now, we have about 10% of the revenue, and of all the charitable gaming organizations in the state that are licensed by the state, we have about 10% of them.
So when we passed the charitable gaming laws in Alaska, there was a lot of debate. There was a lot of legislative record on what it would apply to. And so they settled on raffles and lotteries, which is in the statute. It applies to bingo and some of these other things. I remember some of those bills coming through the legislature around 2003, which was when I first met you. I was working for the Alaska Outdoor Council, a hunting, fishing access advocacy group. And I'm looking at this list here. You have a real mix of charities right here locally that you support. You've got a bait, junior hockey, Fish and Wildlife Conservation Fund, Outdoor Access Alliance. You've got the Marksmanship Committee, firefighters, hospice, the American Legion, Rotary Clubs, soccer clubs, Children's Museum. Can you talk a little bit about how you pick which charity you want to support through your gaming operations?
Well, we have an application process, and we give preference to programs that run their own program or have a special need. We do some pass-throughs, but we like to do organizations that give back to the community. And that's how we evaluate them, what they're going to give back to the community. This week, we are running the lottery for the Fairbanks Food Bank because there's so many families that depend on that service.
And they've done such amazing things over at the food bank. I was part of the turkey drive this year and got to take the tour, and they've really expanded things and made things. They've expanded the preparedness, and we really serve a lot of Fairbanks families who depend on that. I know that our numbers were up this year for the Thanksgiving turkeys and pie giveaways, and that you support that directly, and that some of the charities, like you said, they pass through. I know you give some money to the Central Labor Council, and then they went and bought the turkeys for that. You say that you like the charities who do the direct services. I know you work with the Lions and the Glasses program that they have. Many of us have seen the Rotary Club, the Jungle Gyms, and the playground equipment that they've put in, and the trails work. Can you talk about what are a couple of your favorite programs that you're proud to sponsor?
Well, I'm really proud of the North Pole Eyeglass program they have out there. And I really didn't know very much about it until a family that is kind of my stepkids were involved at a hockey game with me, and I realized that she couldn't see the players, couldn't see the puck, so that family doesn't have much money at all. So I got a hold of the North Pole Lions, the eyeglass people. They set her up with a appointment for an evaluation. They got her glasses, and I was lucky enough to be with her when they picked up the glasses. When we left there, all of a sudden we're driving down the street, and it's like, look at that. Look at those leaves. Look at those birds. It's something that she had never seen before, and that was real dear to my heart.
I'd love to hear that story where you got to see firsthand what the impact was. So many times you and Ann are generously donating the proceeds from these, and you might hear about something, but being able to feel that right on your heart, being touched, being with her while she was seeing those things. I know firsthand from the sportsmen's groups that I'm involved in that you have supported much needed conservation efforts. And then with the Alaska Laborers, you were a member of Public Employees Local 71, and in 2019 you helped them offset their dues. You created a program with Dennis Moen for scholarships where they can send their kids or dependent grandkids all the way. You can get a PhD or you can get a CDL certificate, whatever they need for work. And because of your and Ann's donation to that, no dues have had to be used for that, and they've spent over $100,000 in scholarships for workforce readiness. That's amazing.
It is amazing, and the extra training is lifelong for these people that receive it. You know, increased opportunities, increased wages. It's fantastic to be able to do that.
So I put a few things on the media today because we were going to be talking about the aspects people don't know about with charitable gaming. You're often talking about how much revenue it brings to local communities. The statutes in Alaska say that the money must be spent in local communities. Not a lot of people know that. It can't be spent on out-of-state travel. It can't be spent on certain things. But it must be spent within a year of when it's collected. And I had a discussion late last night with a friend who saw what I posted, and she's a recipient of some of your gaming friends through the Lions, and we talked about how does this really offset the crunch on the state budget and the local budget, because she said, I know the funds go to the state. That's really just the small fee that the state collects for the permit. However, you speak often about how the funds that go into the communities from the charities alleviate the state budget, because back in the big boom oil days, there's lots of these types of programs that the state funded. They no longer do that, and the charities are making up the difference. Things like health care, you support the Breast Cancer Detection Center. We've got health care, we've got scholarships, we've got local school funding that goes to sports clubs. Some of my friends have been confused about how that really has any impact on our property taxes and or the state budget. I want to let you talk about how that does that, how it offsets the pressure on the budget. Of course, it doesn't go to pay people's property taxes directly. We know that. But the things we see in our community, like a thriving food bank, like some of the jungle gym equipment, the trails, the sports teams' uniforms that are not pressured at the school, can you talk about that?
Well, back when they had a lot of oil money, people weren't so much interested in charitable gaming. And then when the budget started getting cut and they weren't receiving state money, all of a sudden we had requests for more and more participation for us to run their charitable gaming permits. The funds really offset state budgets. Without this, I don't know what the nonprofits would do. And the limitations on what they can use it for is in the state to benefit the community. I don't know where to go from there.
Well, I know we need to go to a commercial. This is a great time for me to press the button, and we'll come back to Problem Corner with Dave Lambert of Emerald Isle Pull Tabs and Alaska Lotto.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Ah, February, the month of love. Car love, that is. Les Nichols with Fairbanks Nissan. How do I love thee? Let me count the miles. We all know that February can be a tough month on our automobile relationships. It's cold, it's dark, and our cars may need a little extra warmth and attention this month. Most winterizations include a battery heater, which is good, but a trickle charger is better. Upgrade your car to a trickle charger and keep your battery fresh and ready to go for just $225 at Fairbanks Nissan. Road debris can also damage parts on your winterization. If you think your car should be starting a little easier, we can inspect your winterization for just $125. And nothing shows love like a little maintenance. Keeping up with your 30,000-mile service intervals is a great way to keep your car happy. And don't forget, Fairbanks Nissan works on all makes and models, not just Nissans. And last but not least, brakes. Brakes are just $299 all the time. So show your car some love, get a winterization checkup for just $125, add a spark to your battery relationship with a trickle charger for just $225, get your next 30,000-mile interval done, and don't forget, brakes are just $299 all the time. Schedule a date for your sweet ride at lessaysyes.com. That's lessaysyes.com.
The Alaska Family Council is proud to present conservative radio and podcast host Dennis Prager, founder of The Dennis Prager Show and Prager University, for one day only in Fairbanks, Saturday, February 24th. Get your tickets and join Dennis Prager for a lunch and lecture at the Wedgwood Resort in the Borealis Ballroom, with a private reception and dinner at the Antique Auto Museum later that evening.
Dennis Prager here. I've always wanted to see the Northern Lights. And what better way than Fairbanks, Alaska in February? I'm excited to come up to the Golden Heart City on Saturday, February 24th to help Alaska Family Council, a group fighting for faith, family, and freedom, raise critical funds. I'm equally excited to share my views on the Israeli war, presidential politics, and everything else going on in the world. Go to akfamily.org to get your seats today. See you then.
Don't miss Dennis Prager, Saturday, February 24th in Fairbanks. Get your tickets now for the Dennis Prager Luncheon and or reception and dinner at akfamily.org.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 36. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for snow tonight. Lows level off around 15. Mainly cloudy skies expected. About an inch of snow Thursday through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM.
Welcome back. We're with Dave Lambert of Emerald Isle Pull Tabs and Lotto, Alaska. And Dave, on the break, we were talking, what makes someone an operator rather than just someone out on the street throwing some raffle on Facebook they're not legally allowed to perform?
Well, let me give you a little history. You know, charitable gaming was authorized by the state in 1960. That's when they first made it legal. In 64, they created regulations to authorize pull tabs. And then in 1988, they created operators. And operators were created because a lot of these nonprofits, it's not their business to run charitable gaming operators. They don't have the personnel to go out there and sell raffle tickets, to sell pull tabs, to run a lottery. That's not what they were created for. So the state, in their wisdom, created operators, and then the nonprofits contract with an operator to raise funds on their behalf. So an operator can only raise funds for a nonprofit that's contracted with them. And I am the longest running operator in the state of Alaska. We've been doing pull tabs as an operator for over 25 years. Back when we started, a dollar pull tab was a dollar. Well, today, a dollar pull tab is still a dollar. And with the cost of everything going up, we had to search for other ways to raise revenue for the lotteries. We used to be able to help out between 15 and 20 different nonprofits. And that was it. That was all the revenue. Well, 8 years ago, we started a lottery. We've been licensed to do a lottery for 25 years. Lotteries and raffles have always been legal in Alaska. But until we had the technology to do it electronically, it wasn't feasible.
Now, I've seen that technology, and anybody here in town can go down to your location and see that. How much did that giant drum that you got welded specially to do this each week, how much did that cost?
Well, the drum, it cost $32,000 for just the drum. But the tickets, the ticket stubs, is about $4,000 a week.
A week
in paper. Just the stubs in the drum.
And how much is, I saw the prize was up, what, $4
million? This week the jackpot's up, started out at $4.1 million.
My gosh.
And the weekly winner last week won $198,000 and some change.
Was that the gal from Uktiagvik?
No, this one was from Anchorage last week.
Gotcha.
The one the week before, she actually flew down to pick up her check. She couldn't wait for us to mail it. The mail up there is delayed a bit, so she was excited.
Well, at the break, I got a couple of texts here from some of your permittees, and Caleb Martin with the Alaska Outdoor Council reminded us that the programs that group runs, they're maintaining trail access out Maud Road, and that's something that they're taking off the state's plate. So it's a service that people wanted. He wanted to talk to how your gaming funds offset the state budget, and that's one tangible way, some of the trail maintenance. So you're spending about that much a week just to do the draw for this. And then what is the largest prize that you've paid out to an individual? Because a percentage goes to the individual, a percentage goes back to the state for the revenue, and goes to the charities. What's the largest check that you've written to a person and to a charity so far from the lotto?
To date, the biggest lottery we've had, single winner, was from Kodiak, and it was over $4.8
million. Whoa.
But, you know, the next morning, his ex-girlfriend called him and wanted to know if he wanted to get back together. So, but the benefits to the charity, in December alone, we wrote checks to 39 different nonprofits. And depending on their needs, some of the nonprofits do not have a large need. Some of them do. If they have a special project, we boost up the revenue for that organization. You know, one of the organizations we support is the Kenai River Sports Fish Association that promotes access. And this year they had a big flood down there that did quite a bit of damage on the river. So we gave them an extra boost. So it depends on the needs of the organization.
And that organization has also built some access that preserves the stream bank down there so more people can fish. They've also built some handicapped fishing platforms that you can get to in a wheelchair so that people can experience the outdoors like that. And normally you would see that on a state or a local transportation plan. So they had to work it in there, but they paid for it. They didn't ask the state or the local government to pay for it. So you talked about the creation of operators, and some of these charities, like you said, are so small that you just, they wouldn't have the infrastructure, some of these kids' sports teams, to be able to do what they do here in the community. You let them do the 50-50 raffle at the Ice Dogs, right? They come in and they do this. How does a charity go about finding an operator? People are probably listening who have something similar, small sports team, something like that, some of the smaller charitable clubs that are trying to raise their own money with bake sales or whatever they're doing, car washes. How do you get signed up with an operator?
Well, before we were running the lottery, it was really tough, and organizations had a hard time signing up with an operator because there was only one pie and you could only slice it so thin. Now, with the lottery, we've been able to expand quite a bit, and we currently have about 100 different nonprofits we're raising funds for. So a nonprofit, they can send me an email at dave@lottoalaska.com, and I will send them a return response with the information we need. And, you know, it's basically, who are you? What services do you provide? Who benefits from your organization? What type of funding you're looking for? And the amount, and what it's going to be used for. And we evaluate the different organizations and make our best guess on where the piece of the pie is going to go every month.
One of the things that I really like about this, and I've been working with you now for 21 years, and your friend Josh for about the last 5 years with the Outdoor Heritage Foundation, this isn't simply transactional and simply sending some emails and filling out some paperwork. You guys actually build a relationship with the charities you support. You want to know what we're doing in the community. And when you know that it's going to something like a scholarship, eyeglasses for someone who needs it, health care for someone who needs it, you're more inclined to sign up than maybe just a business Christmas party.
And we did have a request from an organization recently that I asked them what they needed the money for. And they told me they wanted a bigger banquet. And in my mind, I didn't want to pay for their hangovers. And I didn't give that warm, fuzzy feeling with that organization.
So that's dave@alaskalotto.com.
No, dave@lottoalaska.com.
Lottoalaska.com. Thank you. Yeah. dave@lottoalaska.com. If you're listening and you have a small charitable organization and you'd like to have a personal conversation with Dave to talk about what you want to use those funds for. I've talked to a lot of people around. It does not take that much effort. It's a couple pieces of paper with the state and building a relationship with the operator that might support you.
And there's a lot of organizations that have never had a charitable gaming permit because they've never had an ability to use it. They didn't want to do a raffle themselves, and they're not familiar with it. But a state charitable gaming permit is required. And if you have a nonprofit that could use additional funding, you know, send me an email and I will help you walk through the process and the information that's needed. You have to be in existence for 3 years, and you got to give back to the community.
So let's talk about that. You need to be a licensed operator. And how do we know when we go buy a ticket somewhere or we go to a place to play, there's pull tabs, there's these electronic tablets people are giving out. How do we know that we're somewhere legitimate that's supporting our community?
Well, that's a tough one because with the internet, there's all kinds of illegal gambling and scams. And that was one of the hurdles we had with the lottery, because you can go to lottoalaska.com on the internet and you can purchase a lottery ticket. And now that we've had winners all over the state, there's some legitimacy with it. But even here in Fairbanks, we have illegal video operations that are really impacting charitable gaming. And hopefully we can get some legislation passed that increases the penalties for that. But it is very much hurting the nonprofits.
So we're on Problem Corner with Dave Lambert of Emerald Isle Pull Tabs and Alaska Lotto. And you can call in at 458-8255. That's 458-TALK if you want to ask Dave a few questions or talk about how you've benefited from charitable gaming in Alaska. It's not the same as gambling, and that comes up a lot. What's the difference between, why shouldn't we just have casinos up here, Dave?
Well, there is a move for casinos, and they're saying that if we have a casino, it's not going to be Alaskans that lose their money in it. It's going to be the tourists. And how many tourists come to Alaska to gamble? I mean, it's just not going to happen. There's some current legislation in the works, and I don't know that it's going to go anywhere. But one is to form a gambling commission and everything going to the state. That would kill charitable gaming. And there are so many organizations that depend on it. So
if charitable gaming goes by the wayside, we eliminate the program that we have now where local constituents are deciding where to spend the money and you're deciding if you want to fund it, and it would go, if that goes all to the state, then what? We just have to trust that all of our legislators are going to spend it properly?
Well, some of the people think that the state knows better than you do how to spend your own money. And when you're buying a lottery ticket, you're helping the local nonprofits. You know, you may win millions of dollars, and there's a lot of $600 winners also, but it goes back into the community. It doesn't go into the state coffers. You know, it stays in the community. If the money went to the state, you know, the food bank is probably not going to get it. The local eyeglass community, out in Goldstream Valley, the Lions out there that have the play fields and soccer fields and playground, you know, that's all funded through charitable gaming. And a lot of those would go away, the benefits to the community.
Well, you know, during the pandemic time period, I helped you and a couple of others. You needed a business plan on how you could stay open, and it really crashed sales and made things difficult for charitable gaming. You know, we're grateful at the charities I'm with for the large checks that we were getting, but we saw those go from $12,000, $9,000 a month to $150 because people couldn't go out. And then in the governor's executive order, there was a way that businesses could still operate, and we finally moved charitable gaming to the allowability to be online. And honestly, it made the recording so much easier. We didn't have to save the paper tickets for 7 years and the rest of this. And you couldn't get out with each other to transfer your rubber duck tickets for the the chamber in a parking lot somewhere. You had to do things online. And we made the case that we wanted to be able to sell them out of state. We wanted to capture out of state money, still making sure that we could only spend that in Alaska. And so that was helpful. And the charities definitely needed that, and you have the ability to sell, like the Alaska Lotto tickets are able to be sold online. But there's still constraints on that to make sure that it works in Alaska. What is emerging with this electronic pull tab stuff? What parts of it are good? What parts of it are dangerous? You've talked to me before about the stuff that you've looked at that has stop gaps on it so that people aren't getting into an addiction cycle with it versus what folks are trying to bring up here.
So right now there's a bill in the legislature. It's written by an outside company that pretty much has a monopoly. And their proposal is that 50% of the revenue would go out of state to the company. And one of the issues with electronic
50%.
50%. And the other issue is when you're dealing with electronics, they have to pay out between 93 and 95%. So the increase in activity would have to be about five times what it is now for the nonprofits to receive the same funding they're receiving with paper pull tabs. So do we really want to increase sales by five times? You know, the people presenting it saying it's not going to be the kids, it's going to be 50 and older. Well, it's going to be the 21-year-olds that are used to playing on their phone. And
Yeah, they're used to that. And we've, a lot of us have been to Vegas, and you've seen the person who can't leave the slot machine versus right now, you go out for dinner, you're somewhere where they actually have sales for pull tabs, somebody drops $20, you might win big, you might win your dinner, and that's about all we're in for, that's about all the commitment is. We don't really see too many people sitting there addicted to a machine, sitting there addicted to gambling, as it's been accused.
Well, we may end up with electronics at some point, but the legislation has to be written to benefit the Alaska nonprofits. And inside that bill, there's also a one-liner that gives the Department of Revenue, Charitable Gaming Division, the authority to authorize whatever they want. And that's never been in a bill before.
Well, what do you mean, whatever they want?
They could authorize casinos, sports betting, all to benefit the state, nothing to go to nonprofits.
And with 50% of the revenue leaving, that's a huge loss.
Well, it would be 100% leaving nonprofits and 50% going out of state and the rest going to state government, not to the operation in state government, nothing to nonprofits. And, you know, charitable gaming was established in Alaska to benefit nonprofits. We have the best program in the country. No other state has anything like it. And the benefits to nonprofits have just been endless.
So have other states contacted you or some of the other operators to see how to model this?
Well, we've looked at a bunch of the other states, and, you know, the manufacturer sold this as a golden child. And now they realize the problem that's created. When they have, they look like slot machines. In every gas station, laundromat, corner store, it's just way out of hand. So there's a number of states trying to go back and clean up the legislation. You know, if there's going to be legislation, it has to be to benefit the nonprofits. It can't benefit a company from out of state.
So I'm just reading through the list of nonprofits again that you gave me, and there's so many on here that we can relate to. The Girls Hockey, the Fairbanks Arts Association, Children's Museum, Community Food Bank, Concert Association, Hockey Hall of Fame, the Alaska Trappers, Dog Mushers Association, Rotary, another Rotary, soccer clubs, hospice, American Legion, Alaska Wild Bird Center, the Lions Club, Senior Center, the Boosters Clubs.
You know, a lot of the school organizations have had to form booster clubs. Quite a while ago, the Fairbanks School District used to have gaming permits. Well, back then, I had a friend whose son was on the North Pole football team and asked if we could help them out and raise funds for them. But because of the dollar value, they had to go to the school board and ask them if they could receive the money. And the school board said, we have other uses for that money. And I tried to explain to them, you don't have any money. It's money to go to the football team, or there's no money. Well, the school board, in their wisdom, chose no money.
So then did they threaten to cut football that year to try to get their budget increased?
Well, a lot of the sports have been cut out in the schools.
And you could have paid for that.
And so a lot of the schools have formed booster clubs. And that's a way around it, out separate from the school district. And the school district doesn't have gaming permits anymore that I know of.
Is that better? Is that a way for the parents in the booster club to have a little more control?
It gives them control where it goes and how it's used. And if it involves the school district, it goes into their general fund, and they decide where it goes.
Well, we're on Problem Corner. I'm Jennifer Juhas, guest hosting for David Prues, who's traveling today. We are with Dave Lambert, charitable gaming operator for the last 30 years, licensed for 25 once they passed the legislation to do that, with Emerald Isle Pull Tabs in Lotto, Alaska. You can call in at 458-8255-458-TALK.
Coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Big Daddy says forget Taco Tuesday. Come on down for ribs. Just $1.50 each every Tuesday at Big Daddy's. Oh, yes, ribs from Big Daddy's are legendary. And at $1.50 each, you can feed the whole family. Don't forget those sides, including collard greens, fried okra, red beans and rice, coleslaw, all genuine from the northernmost Southern Barbecue. Make sure you don't miss $1.50 Rib Tuesdays at Big Daddy's on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd Avenues in downtown Fairbanks.
Stay informed of what's happening on the firearms scene today. Tune in to Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for news and conversation on guns, your Second Amendment rights, local events, and important legislation. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers Auto Repair has been helping interior Alaskans care for their cars and trucks for 50 years from their same location near the airport on Dale Road. Listen in to Shooter's Corner every Thursday morning at 11, right here on KFAR Radio.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 36. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance of snow. Tonight, lows level off around 15. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Slight chance for snow. Highs around 29. About an inch of snow Thursday through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Good morning. We're back on Problem Corner with Dave Lambert of Emerald Isle Pull Tabs and Lotto, Alaska. I'm Jennifer Juhas, sitting in for Dave Prues today. So thanks so much for being here today, Dave. We talked on the break about some of the projects that you're doing. I do have the question, how do you know, with some of these fly-by-night operations that are not licensed, who are not providing finances back to the charities in Alaska, if I go to one of these places, how do I know it's not legit?
Well, we have 4 illegal video places here in Fairbanks.
In Fairbanks alone?
In Fairbanks alone. And, you know, they're actively involved in money laundering.
So what can be done about that?
Well, it's tough because the Department of Revenue says it's not their problem because they only have authority if you are licensed and doing it legally. So if you're doing it illegally, they don't seem to care. And the police department says they're too busy with rapes and murders and they don't have the staffing to do anything about it. So nothing is being done.
So do you have an association marker? Or I know that if I go to Lotto Alaska or if I go to Emerald Isle, I know that you're licensed and you have a list of the charities. Should people ask what charities does this support?
Well, there's always a list on the wall at the locations and a state permit. They can always go to the Department of Revenue website and look up an operator or a location to make sure that it's legitimate. But right now, there are a lot of online scams, and that's a real concern. And that was something that we had to get around because, you know, we are a statewide lottery. And I hate to say it, but we talked about it a little bit earlier, the pandemic was, I have to say, kind of a good thing for charitable gaming because at that time, we couldn't sell in person. And the governor, in his wisdom, allowed us to sell raffle and lottery tickets online.
Our charities would have been crushed otherwise.
And that made it truly a statewide lottery. We've had winners from all over the state. It took almost 3 years to make that permanent by law. And now there are so many organizations that are running their own raffles that have benefited much more than they could ever. I don't know if you've ever sold a raffle ticket, but it is not easy. And with electronics now, people are used to buying online. So if you find it online, they're required by law to have a State of Alaska charitable gaming license number, and you can look it up and verify that. You can verify that number.
Yeah, we can go right to the State of Alaska webpage and find it. That is a very good point. I know that I've sold those hand raffle tickets before, and you know there's restrictions on that. You can't send them through the mail. You can't do these other things. You can't find it in the state statute, but it's in the federal statutes that you can't mail them, and so you have to run around hand carrying these things. And I've spent an entire summer selling raffle tickets for things like a four-wheeler, just to end up grossing, you know, $4,000 by the end of it and netting $1,500 where we can throw one of our raffles online. The hunting organizations are doing this all the time, especially the Alaska Super 7. You can go to the alaskasuper7.com and seven of our hunting organizations who get the governor's big game tags. That's in its own statute, though. We had always been able to do that one online, which gave us the idea for the pandemic time to expand that. And we've shown that you can track things much easier. We did have to make sure that the bill put the onus on the buyer. You just can't have some of these smaller soccer clubs buying expensive electronic tracking to make sure that someone in a county somewhere in America hasn't changed their ordinances at the local assembly level to prevent them buying a ticket. So it has to be, the onus has to be on the buyer, but we're able to collect out-of-state funds now for that as well. You take more precautions than are necessary just because you're a good businessman and you're nervous. Like, you don't actually have to have the paper tickets anymore, but I've gone to draw the Alaska Lotto ticket before, and you've got cameras over there. You tell me wear short sleeves. You can see my hands go in there, and boy, it's the precautions you take that are in addition to anything that's mandated. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, actually, now we do a paper draw, but we're going to grow to the point where we are not going to be able to do a paper draw anymore because the drum we have is about 3 feet wide and 8 feet long. And
it's enormous and it's sturdy. You could keep a gorilla in there.
And we're going to be maxing it out. As the lottery grows, we're going to max it out. And one thing about the lottery we have, the statewide lottery, is that it's always been an Alaska winner. You have to be in Alaska to purchase a ticket. We have geo blocks, so you have to be in Alaska. A tourist could win. It hasn't happened, but they would have to buy a ticket here. So the money stays in Alaska. In some of these communities, it's amazing when you get a winner that wins $100,000, and that goes back into their local economy. So it benefits more than just the nonprofits.
And like you said, benefits ex-girlfriends and relatives who come out of the woodwork, I guess.
You know, and there are some people would like us to join the Mega Millions. But if we did, that money would go to the state. And the chances of an Alaskan winning are slim to none, where with Lotto Alaska, there is a winner every week, a possible winner. They have to check their numbers, but there's always a winner.
And we've got a caller here. Thanks for your patience, guys. I'm learning the soundboard. This is the first time driving solo, so I'm trying to pay attention to the buttons here. Go ahead. You're on Problem Corner.
Hello, Jennifer and Dave. This is Glenn, and I am with AIMCOM, the Alaska Interior Marksmanship Committee.
Hi, Glenn. You're on Problem Corner
Hello
with
there.
Dave Lambert.
Yes, thank you. You know, I just wanted to say that from the perspective of AIMCOM, our nonprofit organization, we are able to provide a variety of firearm safety classes and events over at the State of Alaska Indoor Shooting Range, thanks to the financial contributions from Lotto Alaska. And these are programs that we would not normally be able to offer, especially at the reduced rates. So it's available to just about everyone. And we always have juniors, the junior shooters, anyone under the age of 18, which is really important to offer firearm safety classes to. They always attend for free. So, and these classes have been very popular, well attended, and very well received. So I just wanted to, you know, offer my comments on how the financial contributions from Lotto Alaska have really helped us out over at AIMCOM.
Thanks for calling in, Glenn. Yeah, the safety is important, and then there's not a lot of people who really understand how many scholarships for college go to folks on shooting teams as well. Thanks for introducing our juniors there, and thanks, Dave, for supporting that.
Yeah, really appreciate it. And as we're talking about other junior organizations, with our event, we do have junior organizations like Fairbanks Hockey Club, and more recently we have the Eielson Junior ROTC Rifle Team that helps us out with events. And because they help us out, all of our shooters at these events provide donations to that team to also help them with their travel expenses and goals that they're trying to achieve. So it works out in, you know, twofold, and really works out well, so I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Glenn. How about that, Dave?
Well, that's a group that I really like to support. And the safety training they provide, without the additional funding, they wouldn't be able to do it. The state isn't going to give them the funding. And if they had to put the onus on the participants, those kids that are benefiting from it, they can't afford to participate.
Just doing more good in the community through charities and charitable gaming. So we've got about 10 minutes left. We're going to go to another commercial here. That ended up not actually being a commercial. Like I said, I'm working the buttons here for the first time driving solo. We're here with Dave Lambert in the studio at KFAR on Problem Corner, filling in for David Pruse. And this week's recipient of the Lotto Alaska is the Fairbanks Food Bank. And we all know Sam Castle and Ann over there. We've talked a little bit about the major improvements that have been made over at the food bank. They've been working with the Department of Ag. We've got some food security buildings over there that we didn't used to have. And if you've ever toured the food bank, they'll give you a tour. You can go over, you can volunteer in just about any capacity. It's really organized over there. They will find a spot for you no matter what you're able to assist with. And it's such an important part of our community. Talk to me, Dave, about how this is going to go down. So we're going to, those of us, we've got until Sunday to buy our tickets.
So tickets are on sale all week, and you have until 5:30 on Sunday to buy your ticket. You can go to the website and purchase a ticket online at lottoalaska.com, or you can go to one of the many locations around town. If you go to the website, it'll give you a list of them. You know, they sell them at Pagoda. They sell them at Ivory Jack's. There's a number of other locations around town. And there's still a lot of people that want to have a physical ticket in their hand. But the advantage of doing it online is that it's emailed to you, and you can just check your email. And you can also sign up for a text message. That's your choice. And if you get the text message, it reminds you to check your numbers, because it's your obligation to check your numbers and to notify us that you are the winner. This is a lottery, not a raffle. It's your responsibility to check your numbers. And we've had a couple of times when the lottery was small that people missed out. And we've actually had one winner that bought a single $2 ticket that won. So it you can't win if you don't play.
You can get the receipt on your phone. You can check it on your phone. You can watch the live draw on Facebook Live on your phone. And you can compare the numbers that show up to the numbers that are right there. You can be anywhere to watch it happen. And then, so if someone wins, they get the weekly payout, and they have a chance to try and find an ace. Is that how this works?
There's a weekly winner, and there's that gets 20% of that week's sales. And then there's a whole bunch of $600 winners that qualify also. And they have to check their numbers. The weekly winner that wins has 24 hours to contact us and pick a window off the board. And that's what makes it a success. There's 54 cards on the board, and we keep eliminating one every week until someone finds the ace of spades.
How many are left this week? Now, the jackpot is $4 million.
I believe there's about 30 of them left.
Okay.
I would have to count them, but I believe there's about 30 numbers left on the board. So every week, the chances get better until somebody finds the ace of spades. When they find the ace of spades, they get the weekly prize plus the jackpot. And right now, the jackpot's $4.1 million, and probably by Sunday, it's going to be $4.3 million.
And this week's proceeds benefit the Fairbanks Food Bank right here in our community, helping local families, people that you might know, people that you might be benefiting yourself.
So if you never bought a ticket before, go to lottoalaska.com and purchase a ticket for this week to benefit the Fairbanks Food Bank.
Dave, we've only got 5 minutes left. If anybody wants to call in and thank Dave for your receipts from your charitable gaming, or ask a question about how it works, we're at 458-8255, 458-TALK. Here on KFAR Problem Corner, Jennifer Juhas guest hosting for David Pruse, who's traveling, and interviewing Dave Lambert with Emerald Isle Pull Tabs in Lotto, Alaska.
Well, what color was it?
It was a black marble table.
Oh. Did that go with your king?
We've got things running in the background here. Again, I'm fiddling with the buttons. Melissa's on standby in case I'm actually crashing the buttons in here. But we'll take any callers at 458-TALK. And Dave, run through some of the other charities here that we haven't talked about. You've got the Dog Musters Association, a couple of the soccer clubs. We've talked about some of the physical things that we've seen in our community, from the Lions Park to the Rotary Jungle Gym equipment out there at Tanana Lakes. What are some of your other favorites here?
Well, one organization with a Rotary Club in Wasilla that I wasn't real excited about because, you know, I want something that goes back to the community. And then they came back to me and told me that they have a Kids Don't Float program. They build kiosks for life preservers. They have a great program for the schools. They have Oscar the Otter. They go into schools and the grade schools and teach water safety and survival. And they actually fly out to the villages. And that was a program that I wanted to support.
That's a fantastic program. And I've been with a couple of charities who, once those kiosks are up, anybody can buy more vests to take there and replenish them for the lending. And I hear a lot of folks on the rivers use those everywhere around the state.
Oh, it's fantastic. And, you know, so many times in the rural area, they don't have swimming pools, and a lot of the people never have an opportunity to learn to swim. You know, in Fairbanks or Anchorage where there's pools, you can do that, but getting into an ice cold river is not a good way to learn to swim.
Growing up in Juneau, it was mandated because we were all on the water down there. But yeah, I've run into a lot of folks as an adult that actually don't know how to swim, so those kiosks are important. If you have a charity, then you're looking for ways to raise funds besides running around town selling raffle tickets, you can contact Dave at lottoalaska.com. And thanks so much for being here today, Dave. We're going to wrap up. We've got about 1 minute left. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you really want our listeners to hear before we go?
Well, we don't want to replace any current funding, but we are here to help organizations. If you have a good cause, please get a hold of us, and we'll see what we can do for you.
Thanks for listening to Problem Corner.
T.org, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org for the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
When my daughter gets a cold, I have a secret weapon. DayQuil Kids Berry from Vicks. DayQuil Kids is specially formulated to treat kids' most bothersome colds.